I'm Jennifer Rooks. Welcome to MPBN's fourth and final Your Vote 2014 debate. We've used the word debate here, but it is not accurate in this case, as only one of the three candidates for governor is here with us. We invited all three to this debate back in June. Republican Governor Paul LePage declined. Congressman Mike Michaud, the Democrat, said he would not appear unless Governor LePage was also present. Independent Elliot Cutler accepted the invitation and joins us now on stage at the Gracie Theater on the campus of Husson University in Bangor. Cutler is a lawyer and businessman who previously ran for governor 4 years ago. You may ask, why go ahead with such an event with only one of the candidates? The reason is that providing these public forums has long been part of our mission. We made a commitment to hold this debate months ago as a public service to our viewers, our listeners, and to the people of Maine, and we are standing by our commitment. So our discussion of the issues with Elliot Cutler will last about a half hour, and we will have several questions, both for the candidate from the MPBN news staff and questions from members of the public, and we will follow the same format as our other debates, except, of course, the section in which the candidates question each other. Elliot, thank you for being here.
I can question the other candidates. They just won't be able to answer.
Well, that's true. So we're going to start with broad topical questions, as we have in the other debates we've hosted so far. And I'm going to start by asking you the big question about the economy and jobs. What can a governor do to increase the number of good-paying jobs in Maine and the economy overall?
Well, the most important thing a governor can do is have a plan, a vision, a plan, and a strategy. That's why I wrote the book, State of Opportunity. It is essential, I think, for the new governor, whoever he is, to have a vision of where Maine can be in the 21st century, to have a plan, a strategy for getting there. I think that the most important thing we need to do in the state of Maine is a better job of educating our kids. We are 10th or 12th in the country in the percentage of kids who graduate from our high schools. That's great, but we're 34th in the country in the number who go on to any post-secondary education. I'm a parent. You're a parent. You know as well as I do that the greatest thrill in the world is seeing a child succeed at something that he or she wants to do. We've got to make that possible for every kid in the state of Maine.
All right. Follow-up question is about Medicaid. Should Maine expand Medicaid to cover more poor Mainers? And if not, what are the alternatives?
There's no question we should do that. It is both morally an obligation as far as I'm concerned. I think every Maine person should have access to primary and secondary preventive care. Everybody should have a medical home. It's going to financially kill us if we don't do this. Our hospitals, whose debts were paid off, are now all either back in the red or heading back into the red. We've got to take that money. We've got to expand Maine care. Medicaid, and we've got to make it available to everybody. But that's only half the battle. The other thing we have to do is we have to have a health care system plan for the state of Maine. We're one of the very few states in the country that doesn't have one, and that's an essential part of making sure that we are delivering health care to people where they live, when they need it, and keeping them well, helping them stay well.
What would a health care plan for the state entail?
Well, for example, I think that we ought to bolster our medical transportation system. If you look at Nova Scotia, Nova Scotia has over time remade its healthcare system by really bolstering its capabilities to deliver healthcare to people by ambulance, by fixed-wing aircraft, by helicopter. We have that capacity in life flight, but we need to increase it and broaden it. And when we do that, over time, we're going to find that I think we can save money and deliver better care at the same time.
Maine people continue to rely more on oil for heating than almost any other state. What policies will you pursue to relieve the cost burden that overwhelmed so many Mainers, especially last winter, but really for several years in a row?
Well, first of all, we do have to get more natural gas into the state. We need to make natural gas available not just for residents, not just for heating their homes at a lower cost, but also to keep our manufacturing base in place and to generate electricity at a lower cost. That's really an important first step, but we've got to make it a bridge, not an answer, a bridge to a future where we're making our electricity and heating our homes by using this vast basket of renewable, clean energy sources that we have in Maine. It's broader than almost any other state. I mean, it ranges from wind to solar to biomass to geothermal. You go on and on and on, tidal energy. And we need to begin investing again in energy sources that will have a low lifetime cost, even though they have a high initial cost, because it's that low lifetime cost over time that's going to allow Maine to really rebuild our economy.
How much is the state's responsibility, state government responsibility, to spur renewable energy development? How much is federal responsibility, in your view, and how much private sector?
I think the state has a responsibility generally in terms of energy to do some innovative things. Let me give you an example that doesn't happen to be renewables, but happens to be how we keep people in a job and working. Verso announced that it's closing its Bucksport mill. That's going to 570 people are going to lose their jobs. There is a 275 megawatt energy generating plant there that powers that mill. It produces more electricity than Bangor Hydro delivers to all its residential and business customers in its service area, plus 33 million gallons of oil worth of processed heat and steam. I want to have a Maine Energy Finance Authority that can buy that plant before Verso sells it to some bunch of investors and deliver electricity on that site for 4 cents a kilowatt hour to new manufacturing facilities that will pile into Bucksport for low energy costs and for process heat and steam. That's innovation. That's something we can do. We need a state action to do that. And I've proposed it to the president of Verso, and I've proposed it to Governor LePage, and I don't understand why he's not proceeding with it.
Would this, did you call it an agency? Would this agency also perhaps in the future buy or own the wind that would be developed offshore?
It could. It could do. It could also provide just mezzanine financing. I mean, that is, provide that layer of financing that is needed to get projects moving because they're not quite economic. There, you know, we're building, not we are, Summit and other companies are building natural gas pipelines now up the Kennebec River Valley and elsewhere in Maine. That's great. But there are a lot of communities in Maine that aren't going to get gas because they don't have the current demand for it. But if we provide a little bit of public financing to move gas into those communities, that's going to induce new economic development. This is the kind of investment we need to make. To sit here and complain about all of the competition we face in places like the Northwest, where they have the Bonneville Power Administration, or the Southeast, where they have the Tennessee Valley Authority, those were federal investments. We're not likely to get federal investments. We need to have a state agency that can move in low-cost capital.
Question four. While there is broad agreement that Maine needs to improve its transportation and traditional infrastructure systems, such as water plants, what would you support to address the 21st century infrastructure need of affordable internet access for business and individuals?
Wow. Great question. Let me give you an example of how everybody knows, not everybody knows, a lot of people know, you know, that we're 49th or 50th in the country in broadband speeds. In the 21st century, that's holding us back. In Woodland, the pulp mill in Woodland, Woodland Pulp, pays $1,000 a month for a 50 megabit connection. A homeowner in Vermont pays $35 a month for a connection that's 20 times faster, for a 1 gigabit connection. We need to do something in Maine, and I think we ought to use the universal service charge and some other mechanisms to begin to connect businesses, hundreds of thousands, 170,000 small businesses in Maine. We need to begin to connect people into high-speed internet. It is one of the biggest infrastructure challenges we have, and we need to be creative about how we do it.
Question five, Maine has never met the promise of the citizen-initiated law that requires the state pay 55% for the cost of local education. Do you support that law? And if so, how would you pay for it?
Well, this is, of course, I think, as you know, Jennifer, an argument that I've been having with Mr. Michaud, because I've proposed how to put more money into public education, said how I'd do it. He's proposed to do it, but hasn't told anyone where he's going to find the money. I want to reform our property taxes in the state of Maine by increasing the homestead exemption from $10,000 to $50,000 a year. That's going to cut property taxes for median residential homeowners in Maine by 20 to 40%. In Brewer, the owner of a $160,000 home will save over $700 a year in property taxes. A woman from Bridgeton came up to me at the Freiburg Fair, and she took our calculator that allows her to punch in her zip code and the assessed value of her home, and it told her how much she's going to save. She looked at it, and she said, oh, my God, this means I can stay in my home. Now, what you do with what you then you pay for that with a half-cent increase in Maine's sales tax or a seasonal sales tax. So tourists help pay for taking care of our state. That raises $185 million. $75 million of that is going to go into public education, into helping teachers get better training and paying them more, getting universal early childhood education for 3 to 4-year-olds, and getting more money into high-poverty school districts. That's $75 million. That gets us up to about 50%. That's as far as I can get in the first year. But I've said how I'm going to pay for it, and I wish Mr. Michaud would tell people what he's going to do.
All right. Well, if you are just joining us and you are expecting to see or hear an hour-long debate between the three candidates for governor, we are instead bringing you a half-hour discussion with independent Elliot Cutler. He is the only candidate who agreed to take part. Incumbent Republican Paul LePage and Democratic Congressman Mike Michaud both declined our invitation, but we decided to fulfill our commitment and provide this forum anyway. We will be right back after a short break.
This is a box that showed you a world beyond your own. It was just a box, but the world has changed, and so have we. And now the box can be almost any size or shape. And you decide what you want to see. Anytime, any place. Break out of the box with PBS. We're with you for life.
MPBN's Your Vote 2014 website offers you Maine's most complete political resource, including in-depth candidate profiles and interviews from MPBN's award-winning radio news programs, and a comprehensive grid that easily allows you to compare where each candidate stands on the key issues, plus all of our Your Vote 2014 televised debates available for streaming 24/7. It's all online in one spot, mpbn.net/yourvote.
Welcome back to MPBN's Your Vote 2014 discussion with candidate Elliot Cutler, candidate for governor. Our discussion continues with questions from the public submitted through social media, email, and our website. And we want to thank everyone who submitted questions. Our first question is from Michael in Cumberland. Last month, Nevada's legislature approved $1.3 billion in tax breaks for Tesla to build a $5 billion lithium battery factory in Reno. Tesla will be exempt from property taxes for 10 years and sales tax for 20 years at a cost of $1.1 billion to taxpayers. Tesla will also get tax credits and receive 10 to 30% electricity discount over 8 years. Given a similar opportunity, would you, as governor, take this bet?
No. Look, we're not as rich as Nevada. We don't have casino revenues. We don't have Las Vegas. I know that Nevada, this makes sense for Nevada. We don't have the capability to do that, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can be all over America and all over the world recruiting people, people with ideas, entrepreneurs, to come here. If we give them the right kind of internet access, they will come here and start their own companies. There's a fellow at Mount Desert Biological Labs named Yut Vin. Named Vut Yin, who is researching with zebrafish how to regenerate human cells. He started a company. This is going to grow. It's going to create jobs and opportunity in Hancock County. This is fabulous. We ought to be recruiting people to come to Maine. Why? Because people are cheaper than Tesla. People want to live in Maine. It's the best place to live in America. People with ideas will come here and create new jobs for people in Maine. This is what I want to do. There are going to be companies who will look at Maine and who will shortlist us along with a couple of other states. And when they do, the CEO of that company is going to want to interview the governors. She's going to call all of us from three states to come to Chicago. Maine people need to think about who is it they want to send to make the sale for the state of Maine.
Our second question is from James in Bodenham. James says, places like Belfast and Brunswick have thriving downtowns with innovative small businesses. Portland consistently ranks among the best small cities in the country with great restaurants and attractions. Yet our universities are suffering, our overall business climate is poor, and young people are leaving the state to attend school, invest, and earn a living elsewhere. What will you do to make Maine the number one destination to live, work, and play rather than number 50?
Well, the first thing we have to do, as I've just said, is recruit people to come to Maine. But we also have to keep our young people here. We have to train them and educate them and keep them here. There are 95% of all jobs created in Maine or in any other state come from the expansion and growth of businesses that are already here. They can't expand and they can't grow right now, not because of energy costs. Most small businesses in Maine, you walk in, you turn on the light. I mean, it's not a big energy cost. Not because of taxes, but because they can't find a healthy, skilled, trained, educated workforce. That's what we've got to fix. We've got to invest in education. And when we do that, those young people are going to stay in Maine. More young people are going to come here. We're going to tear down the financial barriers that keep high school graduates from going on to college in Maine. We're going to make this a place that's attractive to stay and attractive to move.
Third question from Robert on Matinicus Island.
Good for Robert.
What are you going to do to help low-budget, all-volunteer fire departments?
Good question. You know, I'll be honest, it's not one I've heard before. Thank you, Robert, first of all, for doing what you're doing in the volunteer fire department on Matinicus. I don't know what they need. I presume it has something to do with money. I'll tell you one idea I've had that certainly will apply to volunteer fire departments. Maine does not have what I call a buy-once policy. So when the state of Maine goes out and procures hoses, for example, or other firefighting equipment, they buy a lot, the state buys a lot, and gets a lower price for it, much lower than Matinicus Volunteer Fire Department could get on its own. And I've proposed a buy-once policy whereby the state gives a 30-day notice to every other public jurisdiction in the state, every other agency like Matinicus Fire Department, and says, come on, tag along with us, get this price, and you'll save money. That's something we can do that'll help every public jurisdiction in the state of Maine.
Our fourth viewer or listener question is from Michael in South Portland. Atlantic cod stocks are at an all-time low, and more gloomy news could be on the horizon for a lobster industry that has become accustomed to record landings in recent years as well. Particularly when considering the challenges of ocean warming and acidification, how do you propose to ensure a vibrant future for Maine's critical fisheries, working waterfronts, and other coastal communities?
I'm going to do the best I can. I'm not going to be able to play God. And so I can't by myself reverse the warming and reverse the acidification of our ocean waters. I think we need to do a lot more in the state of Maine. It's why I've proposed that we have a carbon fuel standard for transportation fuels that will cut down our carbon emissions. 46% of them come from transportation. We've got to do a lot with other neighboring states in New England, with Canadian provinces. But what we really need to understand better than we do now is what's going on in the Gulf of Maine. Where are the species? What are the new species that are coming? What effect is that going to have on our lobster fishery? How long is it going to take? Is it going to be quick? This is something we don't understand any of this. We don't understand the science. There are great institutions in Maine like Bigelow and Gulf of Maine Research Institute that are doing good work. We need to help support that work. We need to explain how important it is. And I'll tell you, it's not just the fishery that's at risk. If we lose the fishery and we lose our coastal villages, it's going to have a disastrous impact on the biggest industry in the state of Maine, which is tourism. So there's a huge problem here that we need to address, and we need to be vigorous and aggressive about doing it.
Fifth question is from James in Portland. It looks to me like your candidacy will result in 4 more years of Governor LePage. What is more important to you, winning the governorship or getting Governor LePage out of office?
James, I'll tell you what. You know, months ago in Yarmouth, many months ago, I answered a question like that by saying, look, if on election day, if you're still afraid that either LePage or Michaud is going to be elected, because there are a lot of people in Maine who are afraid of either one of them being elected, if you're afraid of Michaud or LePage being elected, then if on election day you don't think I can win, you have my blessing to vote for someone else. Here we are 12 days out from this election, and Mr. Michaud cannot close the deal. He can't win, according to every poll, he can't win a two-way race, he can't win a three-way race with me in it or without me. I don't know why. It may be because people think he's been remade. It may be because he damaged himself in debates. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I challenge Mr. Michaud right now to make the same commitment to give his voters the same blessing that I gave mine. If you don't think Mike Michaud can win, then Mike should say, go vote for someone else on election day. He should do the same thing that we all wish Libby Mitchell had done 4 years ago. If I've given my blessing to my voters, to my supporters, he should give the same blessing to his, because I can put a coalition of Democrats and Republicans and independents together to win this election, and he cannot.
We're going to move on to our lightning round right now. These are questions that are...
You were going to do a lightning, really?
Yes, you're getting a lightning round. And usually I'd make you have a yes or no answer, but
you won't do that.
You might
me.
Get a whole sentence. Do you support the proposal to build an east-west highway in Maine?
I do not. I think we ought to fix the roads we have.
Would you support allowing so-called tar sands oil from Canada to pass through a pipeline in Maine for export?
No, I wouldn't, and I don't think it's likely to happen. They're now building a pipeline around the top of Maine through Canada to St. John, and that's how they're going to export tar sands oil. I hate tar sands.
List two programs in the state budget you propose to eliminate.
Oh, pine tree zones. Pine tree zone tax credits have a return on investment of minus 22.4% every year.
Okay.
I think we can probably do a little bit better with taxpayers' money.
Okay. Got another one?
I've talked about property taxes. I mean, I think we have to cut property taxes. I think we have to zero base all tax expenditures. I've proposed that we have an office of what I call the Grim Repealer, that someone who's going to look at all of Maine's rules and regulations and programs and get rid of those we don't need and aren't working.
Okay, we're going to get back to the yes or no, I think. Would you support raising state fuel taxes to fund needed road and bridge repairs and improvements?
We're going to have to raise either tolls or gasoline taxes or general fund or have a vehicle miles traveled charge in order to provide a revenue stream for paying off the borrowings to fix our roads and bridges. I've said this. I'm the only candidate running for governor who's even acknowledging.
Going
to
try to get in a couple more. Do you believe climate change is in large part caused by man's activities?
Yes.
Do you support or oppose the restrictions on bear hunting on next month's ballot?
I'm voting no on one.
Should local law enforcement agencies be allowed to use surveillance drones?
I don't know. I'd listen to the arguments both ways. I really don't know.
Do you support efforts to reduce the number of school districts to reduce administrative costs with savings going to educational expenses?
I think we ought to provide incentives. I think the failure of the Baldacci plan is an immense tragedy for Maine.
Should Maine make changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, often called SNAP or food stamps, to tighten eligibility rules?
You know, we can tighten eligibility rules, but what we really need to do is we need to have a robust education and training effort that allows people to stay on SNAP.
You have 1 minute for a closing statement, Elliot Cutler.
Already?
You have, well, not quite. Let's hear what you have to say.
You know, Maine's like a rocket on a launch pad, ready to take off. We have abundant assets in the state. We have acres and acres of arable land. We have vast forests full of wood fiber, more water than we know what to do with, communities where everybody wants to live, and resilient, hardworking people. The challenge of our lifetime is to mold those assets into growth and incomes. We can succeed, but not by being timid and afraid, and that starts with how we vote. This election is your opportunity to turn your back on your fears and vote for your hopes and dreams and for your family's hopes and dreams. This is a chance for you to make a real difference in the state of Maine. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, whoever you are, wherever you live, and whatever you do, if you believe, as I do, that this is the greatest state in America, if you love Maine like I do, if you believe that together we can solve any problem, then I ask you to join with me, help me, and together we will make Maine once again a state of opportunity for every man, woman, and child who lives here. I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Elliot Cutler, thank you for participating tonight. For those tuning in late, MPBN invited all three candidates to this statewide broadcast. Governor LePage declined. Congressman Michaud said he would not appear unless Governor LePage would attend. Elliot Cutler agreed to be here and was our only guest for this evening. We want to thank our partner in this debate, the New England School of Communications at Husson University. This program will be rebroadcast on MPBN television and radio, as well as our congressional and Senate debates. For all those times, please visit mpbn.net/yourvote. Our Your Vote 2014 website is also a great place to learn more about the candidates and to see our grid outlining their positions on major issues. If you're watching this live, the next program is a 1972 MPBN debate between Republican Margaret Chase Smith and Democrat William Hathaway, a treat from our archives. We hope you take the time to vote. For MPBN News, I'm Jennifer Rooks. Thank you.